Bruschi looking very Donnie Wahlberg-like with that.
You like that?
<Yeah. laughs> How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right. Got a little time off. Refresh the body and the mind. Now back to work tomorrow.
How long does it take you in general to get past a game, win or a loss? I mean, mentally, to stop running it through your head?
I think if you got something to go back to and another opponent maybe to focus on, it's pretty quick. But after you have a Thursday night loss and then you have a little bit of time off, you probably think about it a little bit longer than usual. So, I mean, over the weekend you think about it, and that's a little bit longer than just the Tuesday off and then back at it Wednesday. So, you know, it's like I was saying, it's nice to get in here now and just sort of start watching film on Miami again and get ready for another opponent.
I think I know you well enough to know you're not real big on moral victories.
Yeah.
A win is a win, and moral victories don't count in the scorecard.
Right, maybe earlier in my career, the first few years, I mean, first, second, third year, as you're still trying to get better as a player or something like that. But, I mean, now pretty much a lot of the guys on the team, pretty much most of the veterans on the team just really have one goal in mind. I mean, we're not thinking about any type of individual accolades or anything like that. We just want to win football games and, you know, win championships.
I was going to go back to the whole idea because I heard some of your comments after the game.
Okay.
You weren't real pleased with what happened here, as anybody would be, and you didn't want to hear about how good the comeback was or anything like that. You wanted to know, did we win or lose?
Yeah, and I think they wanted to mention some positives about the game, the media in the locker room after the game, talking about, you know, the fight we showed, or, you know, the play of Matt Cassel, the play, I mean, I thought Gerard had a great game also. They wanted to focus on that, but I said, you know, if you ask Matt or if you ask Gerard themselves as players and individuals, okay, I had a good game, sure, but that's not really their goal also. I mean, I know they want to make improvements and give everyone faith that they can play football at the linebacker or a quarterback or whatever position it may be, but I think we have a good presence inside of the locker room, how we're all on the same page. And even though we do have a pretty big number of younger players in the locker room now, I think they're all focused on one goal, and that's winning football games also.
I do want to ask you about Gerard and some of the younger linebackers. I'm sure they learned a lot from you, from your wisdom and your experience in the NFL. Do you learn anything from them, even if it's the form of a question that you never really heard anybody phrase it that way because they're so inexperienced? They might ask you a question you haven't thought of. I mean, is there anything like that?
I wouldn't say learning. I wouldn't say learning, like them teaching me techniques or anything like that. But, like, sort of, I'll give you an example. Being on the field during the game or during practice, I'll talk to Gerard how I still need him to communicate back to me. Like we want constant communication out there, especially at the inside linebacker level, you know, between the two guys that are playing. So at first it's all sort of a one-way street when he gets here early, and I'm constantly making calls and communication and giving him reminders and things like that, to the point where even a couple of weeks ago I'm like, hey Gerard, now I need you to tell me if my alignment's not deep enough, or if there's a reminder at a coverage reminder, so give me those keywords also. And that's where I think a player of my experience can still feed off a player, you know, that's young like Gerard, because as the communication sort of evolves and it's sort of a circle and it goes back and forth, I mean, that's just how much better he and I can both be as sort of a tandem.
In a way, that shows how much respect you have for him, because if you didn't have respect for him, you wouldn't want him to say anything to you because you really wouldn't trust what he had to say, right?
Sure. There have been some players in here or some backers in the past where it's, you know, the communication should just be one way.
I talk, you listen.
Yeah. And then sometimes if they want to communicate back, you just sort of shake your head and just sort of wave that off, because you know that's sort of not the correct thing to do. But as long as, you know, you got them on the same page. So, you know, that can happen. But Gerard's a guy that I think he has a whole package. He's got intelligence also. Early in the year I talked about his attitude, and now I'm talking about his intelligence, because I think his physical attributes are obvious. But I mean, for him to also give me some feedback and communication helps me out on the field also.
Going game specific, was communication the issue on the 3rd and 15 conversion in overtime, where it sounded like Bill was trying to get some guys to back away from the line of scrimmage, but maybe guys away from him on the other sideline weren't hearing what he was saying? Was that part of the problem?
I thought our communication could have been better on that play, yes. So possibly not on everyone not on the same page at the same time. You saw Bill going out there trying to get communicated what he wanted to do. Some guys were 40 yards away. You know, some guys were right there next to him. So and also we're trying to get a defense called. So if there was one play in the game you could point to, I think it would be that third and 15 Dale like you're talking about. I mean, we do a great job on first down. I think Pierre got a sack, and then you stop him on second down and you come into a third and 15. You get them to punt that ball and they're deep in their territory and our offense is going to have good field position. And third and 15 is highly advantageous to the defense in terms of percentages. So to see it sort of made just like that sort of easily and not a throw that wasn't really contested is something that's very disappointing.
Thursday night was also Troy Brown night. Is that tough for you guys as players? I mean, because I would think Troy Brown night is more for the fans on a game night. You can't really go out there at halftime and acknowledge Troy the way you would want to when you got a second half to play, can you?
Right. No, it's not really possible because you've just got a bunch of adjustments that have just been told to you in your head, and you're worrying about going out there and loosening up and, getting your blood flowing again, getting ready to play the second half. And also with us, we sort of had our Troy Brown day when he came in and spoke to us before he addressed the media about his retirement. He had a sort of a private meeting with us, and he spoke to the team, and a lot of guys got to express a lot of things with him. So I think that night was about his opportunity to give appreciation to the fans in the stadium and the fans in New England.
He talked about only having one jersey hanging in his closet.
Yeah.
You're in the same situation, one jersey hanging in your closet. It's a Patriots jersey. And on the other side, there's a guy you played with and who played on Thursday, Ty Law, who not only has a couple jerseys in his closet, but one of them is green and white for the Jets. Yeah. Can you ever imagine not only leaving the Patriots, but playing for the Dolphins or playing for the Jets? I mean, it just seems like it's unimaginable, actually.
I can't even fathom it, really. I don't see it happening. You know, it's I think I've worked hard and made decisions along my entire career to make a concerted effort to stay here. And so, I mean, me being in my 13th year now, I mean, to go play one or another year somewhere else that would to wear another uniform would be very, very strange for me.
Especially if it's green and white.
I don't like green and white, man.
I'm always curious how halftime adjustments take place, because defensively you guys looked so much better in the second half than you did in the first half. Now, they did come up with a long drive ultimately to win in overtime, but for the most part, the defensive play I thought was much better. What was different? What changed? What did you guys do differently at halftime that you brought out onto the field?
I think this halftime was about just sort of reaffirming everything that we were doing, that that the run game, they were doing sort of what we expected. And so it really in halftime was like, we know what they're doing. This is what we expected them to do. So now we just have to go out and play ourselves better, play better, execute what we're trying to accomplish out there a little bit better. The first half, I think they were doing a good job of possibly winning on first and second down, and a win by meaning you gain 3 or 4 or 5 yards on first down, and all of a sudden it's second and 5. You gain about 2 more on second down, and all of a sudden it's 3rd and 3. And 3rd and 3 is a situation where the offense really can just do anything in their playbook. They can put in their short yardage package to run it again. They can spread it out and possibly just throw a check down to get 3 yards. So to get them in 3rd and long situations and really just put the more pressure on them in the second half was something we wanted to do. And I think getting those few 3 and outs to start the game, I think we did a good job of that in the second half. And I think it was just us finishing what we had planned all along to do.
Brett Favre is a little chattier than most quarterbacks anyway. At least as I watch, it seems like he talks more to guys on the other team. But he seems to chat more with veteran guys. I'm watching him, and I had a feeling I could see him talking to you while the play's going on, where maybe some kid he wouldn't necessarily talk to Gerard Mayo, but I could see him talking to you while it's going on.
I think you just see a guy for so long, and you feel like you know each other. And, he's been in this league forever, and when you constantly play against people, maybe if they're in the same division as you, but you're constantly sort of viewing their career as it plays out, on TV or through the media or something like that, and the various challenges he has or anyone has in their career. You know, you as a professional, you still view your fellow professionals and sort of how their career has gone. And so just seeing him for so long, and then probably him just being around for so long, seeing us play for so long, and the success that we've had. So it's sort of like a mutual respect.
Dale asked you earlier about halftime adjustments. When it comes to halftime, aren't the adjustments for the most part more like a review? Because I see the coaches adjusting after the first series, after the second series, third series. They don't necessarily wait until halftime to say, we need to start doing this.
Yeah, there are times where we will make sideline adjustments. I mean, there are halftime adjustments, there are sideline adjustments, and in between series there are also adjustments. So that's why everybody, like, there's a place on the bench for the linebackers, there's a place on the bench for the defensive line and defensive backs, and our corresponding coaches always come up to us and sort of go over the previous series that we went through. And I think the first thing that our coaches do at halftime is they huddle up. You know, as players, you know, you go in there, you take care of your business, whatever you have to do. Then you sort of congregate over by the white erase board, and then your coaches, you see them meeting, and Bill's talking to Pease or Matt Patricia or Dom Capers, and they're all talking amongst each other, and you sort of wait. And so, and then all of a sudden, you know, Pease will come out and present the changes that he has for us, and that's sort of locker room procedure, how it goes at halftime.
As a captain and a leader on this team, how do you ensure that no feeling seeps into that locker room along the lines of what a fan gets, which is, how many more of these injuries can we overcome? Man, another guy's down. Oh, look, there's a Dallas down. There's so-and-so. How do you prevent that from seeping into your room?
Well, I think you just focus on who's playing now, and you can't really – We've never been a team to dwell on the past, and sort of dwelling on the past of whichever we've won or lost, and also what players we've lost or gained. So we really have to accept whoever's in there and sort of look at them that, you know, we expect you to do the job. You know, we lost Adelius, we've lost Rodney, but here's Brandon. You know, we have faith in you. You've been here forever. Here's Pierre Woods. Now it's your time. It's your opportunity. You just let them know that you have faith. You have faith in them, and I think they sort of show you that they're ready, you know, in practices and in games.
I was going to say, do you have faith in them?
Yeah.
Now, you say it, but do you feel it?
Right. You still want them to show you. You know, I mean, Pierre's done most of his work on special teams, and I think he had a good preseason also, but we know it's in him, but he knows himself. I mean, he'll be the first to tell you that he's got to be the one that's also sort of trying to fill Adelius' shoes.
And on the other side, I know you got your own job to worry about and your own group to worry about. But on the other side, the quarterback has proven that he belongs and he can play. Not that you asked him to do it or it was spoken, but I'm sure there are some guys who wanted to see it from Matt Castle.
Yeah, and even though you go up to Matt and you tell him, hey, man, we're behind you, you know, go out there and just, you know, do what you do and just do the best you can, you want to give him, you want to give him that little boost that, you know, you have faith in him, but still, he still has to get the job done. And, I mean, that's sort of – That's all on his shoulders in terms of his preparation and how he gets ready to play the game. And then, you know, as a defense, you watch and see how the kid's doing out there. And so, I mean, I think there have been weeks over weeks that, you know, you watch this kid on third down and he's firing it in there to Welker for a conversion or something like that. And that does build the faith that we're talking about, Dale, about, okay, this guy is getting better and we can win with him. But, to get that faith, you're right. A player has to go out there and show it. And I think, we all know that we have good football players and we have it in our minds that they are good and they can show it. It's just when they will show it.
And there are a lot of guys, we were saying this on Friday, there are not a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL who could do what he did, that final drive, a minute to play, no timeouts, and then that 16-yard pass when he's rolling right and fires a perfect pass to Randy Moss for a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, throwing on the run. I mean, throwing on the run also is something that, I mean, his athletic ability has shown. I think he ran for 50 to 60 yards. It's I hope New England's having fun watching him play because it's different. It's different than having Tom back there. You've got a you've got more of an athlete out there, I guess. But you know, you see, Matt. Sometimes
hey, big game, James. Go ahead and clip that. We'll send that to Brady.
You can tell the kid. I mean, the guy's strong. He's fast. He takes off. He had a 16-yard run for a touchdown a couple weeks ago. I mean, he's showing things that that fires defensively up. I mean, you got man-to-man coverage and all the defenses back. Or to you, and Matt sometimes just decides to take off and get a first down conversion. That fires me up more than anything else sometimes.
Is he texting you right now? Phone call.
I don't think we can read what he's texting.
Can't believe you ripped me.
This is one of those stupid things that we always say at this point in the season, but if the playoffs did start this week, you guys would be on the outside looking in. I say that as a prelude to the fact that for the first time in a long time, there's a Week 12 football game that's almost must-win for you guys.
Well, I think everyone to a man in the locker room won't look at any game as a must win because we sort of look at them all like that. I mean, look at them all as opportunities to win. And so, I mean, some of the young guys maybe not, but a lot of the veteran guys, we've been in races before. We've been in division races before where you've really had to earn those hats and T-shirts you get if you win the division. And right now, I think we have just as good a chance as anybody. I mean, we just have to worry about winning games, you know, get back to winning one football game. And, I mean, guys are excited to come here. We had a little bit of time off this weekend. We're excited to come in here tomorrow and get back to work. And, you know, it's a challenge. And I think who we are in that locker room is, you know, we respond to challenges. And, you know, especially after the game went last time we played Miami, I think we're all looking forward to going down there and putting out a good performance.
A little extra work for the defensive side this week on the Wildcat offense.
Yeah, I think we will. I'm sure there'll be some a cut up tape or some clips that we can watch and see how they had success against us and how we probably will make some changes and adjustments to see if we can stop it.
And they'll probably change some things too.
Yeah, it'll be. I think this will be one of those sideline adjustment games. Yeah. You know, okay, this is what we saw in the first series. Okay, here's a new formation, and now they ran a reverse out of this or something like that. So, you know, here's some adjustments we want to make, and here's how we want to play that. So, you know, I think all around, I mean, in terms of coaches and players, this is going to be a game that we're really going to have to be on our toes to win.
Good luck this week.
Thanks, guys.
Good to see you.
Thanks,
right. Teddy Bruschi joining us here on Sports Radio WEEI.